our hearts and our minds are receptive to your word this evening. Yes, we are your word as we got given in the local church. We are much more enlightened to give. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because clarity comes to our mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because revelation comes to our mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because we're walking accordance to your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because we are edified and you are glorified in this service. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a seat. Okay, already sitting. Matthew 28. Hallelujah. We have a lot to look at today. Amen. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them.
Is wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. That is the word exousia, used for power, delegated power. That, okay, that is the word used for power, right? Or exousia. Hallelujah. It says, all authority, power has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Exousia, like I said. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We were looking at giving in the local church. We've not even started touching our teaching. That is how wonderful it is. Let me use the word wonderful yet. Amen. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we said something we've been looking at for the past few days is the use of Jesus' word, I am with you always. We said that is the fact of the soter. Amen. So, Jesus saying, I am with you always, is a fact of the soter in soteria. That is to say, he's laying claim to the fact that not only, listen, is he the God of the Old Testament books, which is the God of the Jews, which is Genesis down to Malachi, with the use of the word I am, he's also laying claim as the Soter, the Messiah. He lays claim to three things there. I am the God of the Scriptures. Two, is he saying, I am the Soter, I am the Savior. For him to say, I'm with you. To be with you there is a fact of the soter in soteria, where the deliverer, the one who rescues, who is the soter, is found amongst the delivered. Amen. Is a major fact. Hallelujah. So, you know, God will also, like I showed us, we said, if you were around the church on Sunday, I said you will find this also in Exodus. Because Jesus is the I am of the scripture, he will speak as God of the scriptures. Now, you'll find it in Exodus 25 verse 8, when God said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. Well, God made that statement. It is a fact of the deliverer. God delivered them from Egypt, so he will be found amongst them. Come here, follow me. It's the fact of the soter in soteria. Amen. In salvation. So the one that delivers you doesn't go away. The one that delivers you is found with you. Amen. So Mark will put it this way. In Mark 16. Look at what Mark says. Mark 16 from verse 15. He says, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. Now say, he that believeth. Mark that word. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The he that believeth shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. That they will speak with new tongues. That they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That they will lay their hands on the sick. And the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord walking with them. Lord, I am with you. The Lord walking with them. So you say, the book of Acts, I told us a time ago, I said, Mark verses 20 is a summary of the book of Acts. So when he says, when he says here, Christian with the Lord walking with them, is a fact to show you everything in the book of Acts, or everything we have in the church world today, is God, what the church of Christ is doing. It is advancement of the kingdom of God. It is God walking through us, walking with us. Amen. Everything you find in the book of Acts is God working with them in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. So in Matthew, when Matthew said, "No, I am with you," that would be an act statement. Did you see that? The book of Acts statement. I am with you. The fact of the soldier. So you can't take that away. The soldier, the deliverer, will be found with the delivered. Let it sink. He will be found. Hallelujah. So God will be found amongst his people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He will be found amongst his people. In Ezekiel, look at how Ezekiel will put it in Ezekiel 36 quickly. Let's go down to Ezekiel 36 quickly. Let me show you this. Just as we move ahead. I guess we looked at this on Saturday. Ezekiel 36:26. See, moreover. Sorry, that is the answer. The Isaiah 25 says, or Psalm 24, he says, "I will take you from among the heathen, and I'll gather you all out of all countries, and I'll bring you to your own land." Now, take away the word "your own land," because the original doesn't have "your own land." He said, "I will bring you to the land." So when you hear the word "land," as a Bible student, your mind goes to where? Genesis. The land. Exodus. Genesis chapter 12. A land I will show you. Did you see that? Amen. The land. That is the same promise that Jacob had. That Isaac had, Jacob had, Joseph had, the children of Israel had. It is not Canaan. To the land. Where will be the land? When you hear the word "the land," your mind goes back again to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2. The land will be God's garden. The land will be God's presence. Did you see that? The land will be the spirit. I thought of that, right? Hallelujah. So he said, to your land. So the land will be, what will that be? God's garden. That will be God's garden. Because when Adam sinned, he was away from God's garden. Did you see that? When Adam sinned, he was away from God's garden. We'll find Cain. Cain was driven out of the presence of the Lord. Did you see that? Out of the presence of the Lord, out of the earth. The presence of the Lord. Okay, following me. So I'll bring you to your land will be for that, or to the land. That is better put. I'll bring you to the land. That will be what? That will be salvation. I'll gather you, I'll bring you. Did you see that? Remember, we said in deliverance, those who are delivered are found with the deliverer. That's what we said on GPLR. Hallelujah. So what we call deliverance ministry today in our world is actually not deliverance ministry. Hallelujah. Because we discovered that what we call deliverance ministry in our world is we are casting out something. Hallelujah. That is not deliverance. Hope you're following me. Deliverance means you are delivered from the enemy, right? And you are found with the Lord. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So listen to what I'm saying. Look at verse 25. Now remember, in the land will be the spirit, right? So who is the deliverer in verse 24? In Ezekiel 34, God is the deliverer. Did you see that? I will take you out of the heathen, take you out of the country, and bring you to the land. Then watch what it says next. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. That's the salvation. That is salvation. Hallelujah. He said, a new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you. I will take away the stony heart of the flesh, and I will give you the heart of flesh. Amen. I'll take a stony heart out of your flesh, I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you. Isn't that? Amen. So that means salvation is not salvation without the Holy Ghost. Salvation is not salvation without the Spirit of God in the believer. Salvation is not salvation without God with the delivered. Hold on, follow me. Hallelujah. So, yes, how is it? Look up now. Okay, let's not do that today. We'll look at that subsequently. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It will be salvation. I mean, salvation will not be salvation without God within us. In us. Amen. Amen. So any gospel that teaches God away from the believer, any gospel that teaches believers that said you are away from God or God is away from you, is not the gospel. The gospel is at salvation when a man believes Jesus comes to him. Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus comes to him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you're following me here. Okay. So, what we're saying is, the use of the word, I am with you, the Lord walking with them is a fact of the gospel. And Jesus gave this instruction within the 40 days for them to go preach with the assurance that he is the one doing it through them. Hallelujah. Luke would not say this in Luke 24, verse 46. He says, of not the Christ, Luke 24, 46. Sorry, he says, it's written, started, behold, Christ to suffer, and to enter into his glory. Right? I mean, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. What am I reading? 26 into 46, sorry. He said, and he said to them, behold, Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. So in verse 47, he said, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. Remember we said, who is the one doing this in Mark? Is God working with them? Just that. So, it now says repentance. Now calls the gospel, repentance and forgiveness of sins. So, forgiveness of sins is preached. Hallelujah. Is preached. What are you telling me? Forgiveness of sins is what? Is preached. Forgiveness of sins is a message. It's a message. Hallelujah. It says, I am witnesses of these things. John will now expand on it in John 20:23. It says, whosoever sins ye remit and remitted to them. This is that whosoever sins ye remit are remitted. That is wonderful because it's only God that forgives sins. So when it says, whosoever sins ye remit are forgiven unto them, it means it's either man, God's man, right? The believer is now standing in God's stead. Hallelujah. He's standing in God's stead and carrying out God's responsibility in all the earth. Which is the same for saying is God taking or carrying out his task through his believers or through his men in all the earth. That is the same thing, the Lord working with them or the Lord working in them. I am with you. How are you following me? How are you following me here? Glory to God. Glory to God. It's God working with them. Working through them. Working in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll see more of this when we discuss pneumaticals. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 If you are very intelligent, you should be noticing that. Pastor is trending towards pneumaticals. If you understood how I've taught you pneumaticals all this while, you should have seen it in the teachings before pneumaticals. I'm talking about it, then we'll get to pneumaticals.
I already see that.
I should have watched the trend. Pastor is getting to pneumaticals. You don't need to. You don't need to. Pastor, you want to teach you pneumaticals. But now you should understand how your pastor teaches you. Hallelujah. Amen. So all this will have a bigger picture when we get to pneumaticals. Hallelujah. You see the bigger part. Glory to God.
Amen.
So, Jesus taught them from the scriptures. That's all we said, right? He taught them from the scriptures. Instructions, taught them from the scriptures, Luke 24:44. That the words that I spoke to you. So Jesus, when he said to you, when he said Jesus taught them from the scriptures, look at verse 44. Okay, let me start from verse 26 into 27. It says, up not the cross of suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Right? No, sorry. Look at what I've said. I just said it now. That I am reading 26. I'm reading 26 into 46. Which is very wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, 26. Luke 24, 46. I mean 26. Um, He said, up from the cross to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And to enter into his glory. I'm seeing it and I'm reading third day again. I hope you guys prayed for me. All of you guys to suffer these things. Up not Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. Okay, now I'm looking at it. Well.
Amen.
Amen.
And to enter into his glory.
Now says, beginning at Moses. Watch that. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Beginning at Moses, Achaemus styles and all the prophets.
He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
My God, go to 44. He said, these are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled. You know, well, that is going to have a bigger, let me put it, it's going to have a bigger narrative very soon. He said, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Mark that word, fulfilled. Hallelujah. Will be fulfilled. Like he said, the word plero, to be completed, to be fulfilled. Now says, and he opened his ear on the son, and they might comprehend the scripture. Watch what he did in 45. Watch what he said in 27. Marry them together. He's telling you that Jesus never spoke outside the scriptures. You need to get to see that. Jesus never spoke outside the scriptures. So every time Jesus speaks, he's giving a commentary from, or he's giving a commentary of the 39 books. Every time Jesus spoke in scripture, it was a commentary. Listen, every time he spoke with any four gospels, every time he spoke, he was giving a commentary of the scriptures. His words and actions were commentaries of the 39 books. How am I following you? Glory to God. Glory to God. And you know what? The disciples picked it and wrote it for you to see. That's what it is in this man, or in Jesus, is scriptures fulfilled. That's what we're about. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Very right. So he was writing from the 39 books, or he was speaking from the 39 books. He was doing it always. His words were commentary of the 39 books. Hallelujah. Not contradictory. No. Commentaries. Hallelujah. Those you are going to see on Sunday, for those of us who be enjoying on Sunday, who don't allow fight, enemy, you discover that Jesus, you think Jesus was contradicting Moses. Moses says, love your enemy, love your neighbors, hate your enemies, right? And Jesus says, no, you love your neighbors. They say, love your enemies, pray for them who constantly persecute you. Say, no, it's contradictory. No, what he said is a commentary of Moses, not contradictory. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So it makes you see it. It makes you see that you're going to love the human enemy. And we have a common enemy who is the devil that you don't love. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. So those are commentaries. He made commentaries. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you're following. Hope you're following. Amen. Garibay, I gave you a tax and you didn't carry out my tax. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go for that a bit. Now, something you have to see. So, when Jesus now says to them in Matthew 28, in Matthew 28, verses 18, verses 20, when he now says, teaching them. Remember, we said what Jesus was doing within the 40 days was teaching. What was he was teaching? So, when he now says to them, teaching them, he's telling them you're going to do it the same way I've taught you. They're going to teach like Jesus has taught them. So how did Jesus teach? In Luke 24:27, he said he expounded. Luke said what Jesus did was an expansion of scripture. When you see what expounded, it means to interpret. Interpret. So that means what Jesus is saying to his disciples, extension the local church, is that the local church is where scriptures are interpreted.
Hallelujah.
Which scriptures are interpreted? Now, this is a Bible student is a student or is an interpreter. Let me put it like that. Hallelujah. Interpreter of scriptures. And in teaching, what we've been looking at is that because Jesus, just like Jesus started from beginning at Moses, beginning at Genesis, we therefore have disciples of Christ, we have to follow Jesus' pattern. Jesus' pattern of interpretation, we put it his didache. We have to follow Jesus' didache, his pattern, by beginning from Moses. We have to do it the same way the apostles did it. And as students of the apostles, we have to follow. Acts 2:42. One of the things that the disciples, the new convert, learned was how scriptures were interpreted. Look, Acts 2:42. And they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and the apostles' doctrine, that is, in the mode of explanation, didache. Hallelujah. Amen. They continued steadfastly. Steadfastly means they stick to it. Hallelujah. They stayed with it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They continue. So that means there is a way scripture ought to be interpreted, which is from the Genesis. Glory to God. I will find that in how the apostles too would write the synoptic. They don't write the synoptic as a mess story. No. They wrote it as scripture fulfilled. They will start from the Genesis. To read it from the Genesis. Matthew 1:1 will say the beginning. Matthew 1:1 say the book, of the generations of Jesus Christ. The book of the generations. That's the word Genesis. That's the Greek word for the Hebrew for the word Genesis. Just telling you. The Genesis is the Genesis of Jesus Christ. You'll be following me, the son of David. He's telling you what I'm writing here will be scriptures fulfilled. Hallelujah. In the life of a man. You'll be following me. Hallelujah. That's why in Matthew, you'll find the word used all the time. That it might be fulfilled. It might be fulfilled. It might be fulfilled. They all found their fulfillment in Christ. So the question one we ask is, what does it mean? That was Jesus, did Jesus fulfill the word of the prophet voluntarily, or they wrote it down for him to fulfill? The question we'll answer as we progress. Not in this teaching, but as we progress in the year. Hallelujah. Who be following? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, like I said, when you wrote this synoptic, you find in John, John said, in the beginning, that's the word was God and God was the word, and the word became flesh and said banakuda amongst us. This is that we write this, so it says in the beginning was the word was God. When the word beginning there, Ake is telling you, go back and see I'm writing from the Genesis. Ake, in the beginning, a shade of the word for Genesis. Hope you're following me. A shade of that word Genesis is the Genesis. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So, very vital. We start from the Genesis. And we say, in Bible interpretation, we seek to find out what was in the heart of mind of the writer when they wrote. Never forget that. We seek to find out what was in their heart when they wrote. They are not in the scene. They are not on the scene, rather. We are left with their text. So the text of the writer, the text of scripture, carries both the writer's intention and its construction. So that means I could know what was in the mind of the writer by reading his text. Hallelujah. We could know by reading the text. Something I said last week Thursday that I want to repeat again is that understanding what was in the text of the writer, I will have to take the seat of the first audience. We're going to get to see that as we progress through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But and then just a recap, we said you have to first of all you learn to read it first in their world. Right? In interpretation, you read it first in their world. You don't read it in your world first, no. You have to read it first in their world. Sit in the seat of the first audience, like we said. Hallelujah. Read it first in their world. Don't read it in your world. And we looked at the word blessed. And the word blessed shouldn't be interpreted in our world for money. Shouldn't be interpreted for money or material things. The word blessed should be used, the word blessed in God's kingdom will imply to speak well of. Was that what we said? That to speak well of. We said it implies to speak words of, or to speak words worthy of commendation. Not money. Words worthy of commendation. I will say, a major mistake people use is most times in Bible interpretation, they read figures of speech literally. They read figures of speech literally. Figures of speech must be left as figures of speech. Must be left there as figures of speech. Hallelujah. You must use figure of speech the way it also be used. So we find out, what was this figure of speech pointing to? Is that? What was it pointing to? What was it used? What is it being used to explain? Hallelujah. Amen. Just like in our world, we say the cloud is pregnant. We don't know what it's going to give. I mean, tomorrow is pregnant. I don't know what it's going to give birth to. And you're not thinking, yeah, tomorrow has stomach. His stomach. No. You have to read it. That is a figure of speech. So what is it being used to explain? And you don't stick to the figure. You stick to what it was used to explain. Okay, following me. Hallelujah. We also looked at the word eat. Would you look at the word eat here on Thursday? On Thursday? Eat? I don't think so. But like the use of the word eat. Eat. We said the use of the word eat was used in their culture to show you are, to show an acceptance. That was on Sunday. To show an acceptance. So when I want to show I have accepted you as a friend, we will eat together. Hallelujah. We will get to eat together. To show I have accepted you. To show brotherhood. It was in their culture. So listen, Moses will not use the word eat in Genesis for the tree of life. Everything there, and something you're going to see. I didn't want to say it today, but I'm going to expand on that next week. Maybe on Sunday, maybe on Wednesday. But I want to expand something for you to see. Remember, you don't, and when you, remember, text, context is very key. Now, when you said, when you don't put it means to accept all truth. Remember, he also said to them, you should not also eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. He also mentioned that also. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So, like I said to us on Sunday, those are things that are very vital. You don't use it and not use it literally and not say there's a tree that gives life. No. No. Hallelujah. I told us on Sunday and I said when a statement is impossible, a figure of speech is intended. Hallelujah. There's no tree that gives life. That is a figure of speech. Hallelujah. So you have to look at the it and the figure of speech for the life, tree of life, and know what is it using it to teach here. It becomes very vital. Hallelujah. But just like we said, the word it was used in their culture to show brotherhood. So that means, if you read through the scripture, the 39 books into the four gospels, what you call the synoptic, the book of Acts and the book of Acts, you will discover that God, okay, take away the book of Acts. Okay, God is accommodated. You discover that God will have to accommodate sometimes what was obtainable in their culture. That's what we did in the 39 books. Amen. Now, we accommodated it within their culture. But yet, let me read where I have it in my notes. It says, so, we said many times, in their writing, the writer makes you see that God will accommodate the culture obtainable in their world to pass across his oracle. Hallelujah. To pass across his oracle, to pass across his words. Hallelujah. Now God will accommodate. The writers will write to it to see that God accommodated them. Hallelujah. But also saying, God isn't saying, God isn't saying you should put your eyes on the culture, but you should see what he was using it to pass across. Hallelujah. I put it this way. You mustn't take your eyes away from what the culture was used to pass across. So you accommodate it. Hallelujah. Accommodate it. So why would God accommodate it? Is he accommodating it forever? No. He's accommodating it
and you will find God's perfect plan in the Messiah. Do you see that? In Jesus. Hope you're following me. Amen. Sometimes we're going to show you.
When we get there, we'll talk about a bit of it today. We'll talk about it again next week. Jesus' commentary on the word Sabbath. We're going to get there. Sabbath. You discover Jesus' commentary on the word Sabbath was used. Most of it. In fact, all this commentary on Sabbath was a response to questions asked him by the Pharisees. So he didn't have any teaching on Sabbath. Amen. We're going to see that. So you have cultures like that. God will have to accommodate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if you don't look at what the culture was used to pass across and you stick to the culture, you will miss out in the bigger picture. For example, Genesis 28. Let's quickly rush to Genesis 28. Verses 28, verses 12. Talking about Jacob. He says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land where thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and to thy seed shall the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee shall all thy seed, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in the place that thou goest, and bring you again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord God is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? Is that? And there is no other but the house of God. This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put on his pillow, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon it. Use that upon the top of it, and called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Hallelujah. Watch this. Jacob had a dream. Right? He saw the Lord. He had a vision like that. He saw the Lord, and he rose up and said, God is in this place, and I knew it. And he took oil and poured it. Now, the use of oil, listen, the use of oil was in their culture. You see that? The use of oil was in their culture. And it was in their culture to show, in their culture, they use oil to show that a place, a thing or a person is sacred. It used to show that a place, a thing or a person is sacred. Or is chosen. Sacred or chosen. So, Jacob pouring oil doesn't mean the oil made that place to be sacred. Did you see that? No. Okay, for me. He's pouring the oil on that place doesn't make the place sacred, but rather the place is sacred, and to recognize that the place is sacred, they pour oil. You see that? So oil doesn't make the place sacred, the place is already sacred. So the oil is used for an indication in their culture. Okay, for me. In their culture. Hope you are here with me. Hallelujah. Amen. It was in their culture. And God had to accommodate it. Look at Genesis 33. Genesis 31, verse 33. Verse 13. Look at it. Genesis 31, 13. It says, this God, he said, I am the God of Bethel. Who named the place Bethel? Is it God or Jacob? Who named the place Bethel? Is it God or Jacob? It's Jacob that named the place, right? So he said, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar. You see that? And where thou vowest a vow unto me. So, this is God accommodating their culture. See the place you anointed. So, where you anointed, the oil is taking place, like where the place is sacred before the oil. How about for you? It's sacred. So, you have to see that. It was in their culture. So, you know what? If you now read, so when Moses now instituted the use of oil to anoint with oil, he wasn't saying he anointed with oil, making the person of the thing sacred. No, the thing of the person is sacred, the oil is used to indicate it. Come on, what do you mean? Hallelujah. He just used to point to it. Exodus 28 verse 41. We'll run through a bit of those commentaries right now. Exodus 28 verse 41 quickly. Look at it. Are you there? Now, look at verse 40. Now, remember, at this point, God in verse 1, God has chosen Aaron and his sons. Look at verse 1. And take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with thee from among the children of Israel, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. That is verse 1. Did you see that? They may minister unto me, so they were already chosen. Are you following that? Now look at verse 14 to 41. It said, for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make them for girdles and bonnets, shall thou make for them for glory and for beauty. 41. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and thou shalt anoint them. You see that? And consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Were they chosen before now? Were they chosen before now? So the oil or the anointing that will be wrought will be used to do what? That what? To anoint is to smear. As you rub a cream on the body. Okay, it's used to show that this one has been chosen. Not the oil will now make you chosen. No. Okay, follow me. It was a practice in their world. Okay, follow me. You find out also in chapter 29, verse 9, verse 4. You see there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Find it in 29 verse 4. Exodus 29, 4. Exodus 29, 36. Exodus 30, 26. Exodus 30, 30. You find it there. So, the oil, pouring of oil, or the anointing with oil, doesn't make a man sacred. It is a man that is sacred or chosen before the oil. Oh, they're following me. So you have to see it was in their culture. And there's a reason why it was good. We're going to look at all that has to progress, not now. Hallelujah. Are they following me? Are they following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That said, they also had a culture of Sabbath. They had a culture of Sabbath in Egypt. In Egypt. Moses, they got into the land and Moses had to borrow that culture. Are they following me? Moses had to borrow the culture from Egypt. We saw oil, use of oil, even in Genesis, because it was a culture that was among their generation. Now they got to Egypt. There was a culture in Egypt of the Sabbath day. See, today they still have the Sabbath day in Egypt. They still have the Sabbath day. Are they following me? So what did they do on the Sabbath day? The Sabbath day the Sabbath was a day set aside to worship deities. A set aside day to worship their deities. Before me. So Moses borrows it. In Exodus 20 quickly, verses 10. Look at what Moses says. He borrows it. Verse 20, verse 10. It says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Oh, hallelujah. Or you put it this way, it is the Lord's Sabbath. That is the Lord's Sabbath. He's telling you, unlike the Sabbath that you know for the deity. This is the Lord's Sabbath. This is Yahweh's Sabbath. The Sabbath of Yahweh. Revelation is that it's Yahweh's Sabbath. So Moses borrows it from Egypt and says Yahweh's Sabbath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the moment you stick to Sabbath, a particular day which is the seventh or the last day, you stick to it for alone, the day of worship, you do no wrong. If you now start following the, remember I told us, listen, I told you find it as seed, you find it as types and shadows were in Moses and in the prophets. That is, they were given those things as types and shadows. Hallelujah. Now, remember you now stick to the types and shadows in Moses and the prophets, those days, you are not observing the days like they did, you are missing it. I showed us on Sunday, I said this, I told us on Sunday that many a times people, or a lot of people, okay, that was last week's Thursday, and people do it a lot. You say, how can they be speaking to one day? But you too, you are doing your own. Amen. You are doing your own just like that. Hallelujah. Just like that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Say just one day. So on, don't say it's Sunday. Don't say it's Monday. We say no, it's Saturday. Saturday because it's Saturday, Sabbath. It sounds alike. Where to now shock you is that Saturday is not called Saturday in some languages. I don't know, is that true? Yeah. You are saying it's Satu, it's Saba, Saba. This is song. Some people say, no, it's Monday. Sha, it was a day. So what Moses did was Moses now chose the last day and said, this is the Sabbath of the Lord. Did you see that? Say, 6 days you do your work. He said, on the seventh day, which is the last day, says the Sabbath of the Lord, verse 11. Hallelujah. It's the Sabbath of the Lord.
The Lord's Sabbath.
So, hallelujah. That means, sorry, verse 10. It's the Sabbath of the Lord. So the moment you stick to it without knowing what it was pointing to, you miss the whole thing. You will miss it. Seriously, you will. You will. Remember I told us, okay, on Sunday, that's what I was going to. I told us on Sunday that you must. These are called eupodegma, right? Events that point to a greater event. So, the moment you stick to the practice, there's a practice, but there's always a word, there's always a teaching. I showed us that on Sunday. I said, for example, when they were thirsty, and Moses did a miracle of the rock bringing forth water. Now, can you imagine? And Moses has been teaching them, God is the rock in Deuteronomy. God is the rock in Him. God is the rock. And God is the rock. And now, an opportunity presents itself, and out of the rock came water. And what is it? God is the rock. And not the water. Remember, Moses' is water is Jesus' is water. Right? The Spirit. Right? Come on. Now, you now leave what Moses has been telling you that God, Yahweh, is the rock. And you now want to walk this now rock and say, this is Yahweh. You know you will be crazy. Amen? You'll be crazy. The guy that Jesus saw on the pool, at the poolside, he said, Jesus is here with you. And he said, no one is here to push into the water. What was a myth? Angel comes to say, was there a meat though? Was not like angel came, was there a meat in their walls? Angel used to come and stir the water. And God is here. And they are saying, no, just push me.
That's all I want. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You let me read things and you are going chasing shadows.
Chasing shadows. Many people are like that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Moses gave you tabernacle.
But before he gave you tabernacle, he has written it in your heart and has told you that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. When you hear heavens and the earth, that is tabernacle. Amen? It's a short form for tabernacle. Heaven and the earth. God and man. And Moses is saying this and teaching it. And then Adam sinned. Adam was away from God's presence. Cain away from God's presence. Away from heaven and the earth. And yet, he now said, okay, let me illustrate it. Build a tabernacle. Remember I showed us in Hebrews chapter 8.
Look at something. Exodus 28 quickly. Verse 19. Exodus 25, verse 9. I'll start from verse 8. It says, make me a sanctuary, and I may dwell amongst them, according to that which I showed thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle. This is the word pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so make it. So, I told also something, I said that verse 9 was not brief. He didn't say brief. Amen? He is the priest. He is the physical priest. No. What he saw on the mountain,
if you look at Hebrews, the letter of Hebrews will pick it up from there. Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 8. Hebrews 8 quickly. Look at Hebrews 8. Look at how the writer of Hebrews now presents it. When you see that he didn't see bricks. He didn't see roof. He didn't see no. What he did for them was a pattern of what he saw. How about following me? How about following me? Hebrews? Are you in Hebrews? Quickly. Chapter 8. Look at what the writer of Hebrews. Look at what the writer of Hebrews said. It says, I'll read from verse 4 to 5. It says, if they were on earth, they should have been, it should not be a priest. Seeing that they are priests that offer gifts according to the law. It says, who serve as an example and shadow of heavenly things? As Moses admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Say, see. Yet he that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. He used first of all the priest that they have. He said it was an example and a shadow. A shadow. Imagine I'm talking, I'm standing here and I am dealing with my shadow. It doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. That's what they were doing. They left the real thing and they were talking to shadows. Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. So, listen here. So he says they are example. That word example there, the word hypodegma. Meaning, hypodegma means event or things that points to a greater event or things. Amen? A greater event. So that means, when he says, in that sense, the same way the priest, when Moses now carved out the Levites, God's plan was not for them to have a Levite, separate Levite of priests. So only the Levite to the priest. That was God's plan. God's plan was for the whole nation to be a kingdom of priests. He said it, right? But in answer, see, God is only Levite to the priest. Did you see that? And now what God wants to all the nation. Now, Moses was that what the Levite being priest alone, standing in the priesthood office, was a new paradigm to point to God's main plan. God's plan was for them also be a kingdom of priests. How are you following that? That's God's plan. For them, all of them to be a kingdom of priests. He has said the same way too, the tabernacle, that he has brought in the tabernacle, that Moses was admonished of God to make it according to the pattern. The use of pattern there makes you see that what Moses gave to them was not the real thing. It was a pattern of what he saw. What did he see? He saw God in man. That's what he saw. So, who will not fit into that pattern of God in man? You now look back again at their culture. The culture in Egypt, they have the temple worship. The temple is where men go to meet the deity. So, he makes for them a temple. How many people know me? He makes for them a temple to show God and man in the same place. So, the tabernacle is not God.
or the tabernacle doesn't know. The tabernacle was a shadow of the indwelling. God and man in the same.
Are you following me? Amen. So when you now leave what Moses is teaching you, that God will dwell amongst you, and you start going into the tabernacle to look for God, you are missing it.
Because the writer, because Stephen in Acts Apostles chapter 7 will say, God did not dwell in buildings made with hands. Acts Apostles chapter 7. God said he doesn't dwell with buildings made with hands. So make you see that when you were entering the temple thinking you were looking for God, God wasn't in buildings made with hands. How can you follow me? So you can't see through the shadows. Why? Because there was the message.
So you have to stay with the message.
Amen. So the temple worship was a culture. When you're going to a temple to meet the deity, was used to point to what God will do in redemption. Hallelujah.
Your redemption will be found in that union. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. So God is not found in grace. God is found in our assembly together. Amen. In our assembly together.
Not, so that means we can assemble together in a building, after the building, in that assembly together, God is found there.
I will dwell amongst them. An assembly.
Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's get back to Sabbath worship. That's where we are. Hallelujah. So it calls it the Sabbath of the Lord. So the moment you stick to the Sabbath day, and you miss what Moses was talking about, you miss it all. Because when you're talking about Sabbath day, the last day, you now go back again. Where did he measure last day? That would be Genesis chapter 2. The God rested on the last day and hallowed it. That was exactly what he said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. He, by 17:11, God sanctified and hallowed it. But yet, you won't find Abraham. You won't find Adam. You won't find Seth. You won't find Abel. You won't find the Petra. You won't find them at all. Have a particular day called Sabbath day that they worship. You should be that intelligent to check. Let you know that was a... So Moses, what Moses has done here was that they've seen the last day, the Sabbath worship, and Moses speaks it out and says, that's how God rested.
Did you see that? So he writes it into the Genesis, and yet he didn't find the Petra doing it. What is Moses saying? Moses is talking about, when he talks about the last day, he's telling you that the Sabbath day is used to point to the Lord's day. We've explained that during Believer's Convention. Points to the Lord's day. So the Sabbath day points to the Lord's day. And in the Lord's day, you don't need to walk. No, you rest in God's work. Amen. It's not a particular day, a Monday to a Sunday. No. Hallelujah. But a Monday to Sunday will be found in the Lord's day. Hallelujah. The Lord's day is the believer's reality. The Lord's day is actually the reign of the Messiah. It is eternal life.
Hallelujah.
Very vital.
Hallelujah. The reign of the Messiah. Eternal life. The Lord's day is, I am with you always. The Lord walking with them. That is the Lord's day. That is the Sabbath.
Okay, follow me. Get that teaching. Get the teaching on Believer's Convention 2022. Is there?
Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. Hope you are flowing together. Okay. Okay, let's go for that. I have in my notes, that implies that the Sabbath day, listen, alright, I said the Sabbath day is the the Sabbath day, the seventh day will be the day of the tabernacle. Will that be correct? That is the day of the tabernacle. That is the day of the tabernacle. That is the union, right? It is the day of the tabernacle. The union of heaven and earth. The new earth. Hallelujah. That's the believer's everyday reality.
Let me see if I can take this more. Okay, we can still take it. Hallelujah. So, another culture that they had is the culture of sacrifice.
Sacrifice?
It
was a culture in their world.
Amen. Amen. Was a culture in their world. Sacrifices. Now, sacrifice was used in their world for worship. Worship.
Service. To give. They offer sacrifices. Amen. They offer sacrifices.
They offer sacrifices. I'm going to take back again that word. You're going to see that word eat again. I said it earlier, but I'm going to bring it back here. Sacrifice, over sacrifice. Is this for worship? Amen. Is this for worship? And the first time we find sacrifice used by Moses, he used it in Genesis chapter 3, quickly. I mean, yeah, Genesis 4 rather. Genesis 4. Quickly, for Cain and Abel. Oh, that would be for Cain and Abel.
It wasn't used for... It wasn't used for sin. What is for sin? What is for forgiveness of sins? That's what I mean.
It was actually used for worship. Amen. Amen. Open up already. For worship. That's how Moses wrote it.
Remember, when Moses wrote Abel and Cain and sacrifices, he was writing to an audience that understood sacrifices. Right from Genesis. I mean, right from Egypt. He understood sacrifices. So, when Moses wrote sacrifices there, Moses was writing in figures.
Well, you know figures. The other figures, please. It was it that now he used Cain brought, Abel brought firstlings. Firstlings. Now when you use the word firstlings, it has that card there. Bekorah.
Hallelujah. Bekorah. Firstlings. But the first. Also to that Abel, also to Cain brought his own.
But that of Cain, Abel was accepted, that of Cain wasn't accepted. Before you think they set up fire. No, that's not what it is. Hallelujah. That's not what he was talking about. Amen. Because, let's not get there now. Don't want to deviate from what I have in my notes today. Hallelujah. I'm trying to do that. Now, before you miss that and think, oh, we were doing competition of sacrifice. And the one God consumed this and not consumed this one. Come on. We're just writing figures. And what is
he wants to write to them? He's writing to them for them to see that the kind of offering, the kind of sacrifice or worship that Abel gave was a worship in faith of God's redemption. That's what he was writing right now. God's redemption. Amen. Faith in God's work.
How about it? Faith in God's task. That's what he gave. So, look at what he said. He said, verse 4, and Abel also brought the firstlings. Where you find the shape, that word, Bekorah. Where you find that word, where you find that word for birthright, of office. But let's leave that for today. He brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his worship offering.
Is that? So what he offered, what did the researcher told you was not actually that there was a physical offering that was being done. Right? But Moses is using it to show he had faith in God's task, in God's office, in God's task. Yes, he had faith in it. Amen? That is what the offering. Okay, so offering, so Moses used the offering to show faith in God's work. Yes. But Cain is also offered.
Exactly. That's why you have to read context.
Hallelujah. Did Cain offer?
Faint indeed. Hallelujah. Let's read that. Amen. And but unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect, for Cain was very wroth. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance, he had no respect for it. What does it mean then? It meant that Cain, though he was the same offering, his own rejected was used to show unbelief. The same offering. Offering, offering. Your government is one was to use to show faith, and one was to show unbelief. You can also put it wrong worship. Thou shalt eat of the tree, thou shalt not eat of this tree. Wrong worship after that. Exactly the same thing.
Moses was writing to an audience that understood it.
Hope you're following me.
Write to an audience that understood it. This is faith. Sacrifices. So he has written to them, they have seen. Right? Right? Glory to God. We get to Noah. Quickly, we get to Noah. After the flood, Noah offered offering, offered sacrifice.
Listen, he offered sacrifice. And as he offered the sacrifice, he offered it as worship. You see that? He was in the world. He offered sacrifice as worship to God. Not for sin offering. Oh, as worship. What do you mean? As worship. You are saying it. It's for worship.
Hallelujah.
What about that? For some worship.
Okay, was in the world. Very well in the world. Yes, something you're going to see. So, sir, for God, God had to accommodate it. In fact, quickly, if you read Hebrews 10, or you read, okay, you read Hebrews 10, it's called that God did ask them for offerings. God didn't. At all, God didn't say, offer this, God never did.
God did. We're going to get there soon. Hallelujah. We'll get there soon. God did.
But yet they offered it for worship. It was in their word God accommodated.
Amen. Amen. Same way, so God has accommodated some things that we did, that we used to sing some songs. God, oh, Bangla. It's God or Bangla. But he accommodated it. Obala is the name they call their God. You don't know. Obala. They call Shambo Obala. Amen.
Amen.
So God had to accommodate it.
Perhaps God even accommodated some African cultures in the churches.
But understanding the fact that listen, when they came, you know, you don't just come to. When we have a
something I hope we should do this year. Amen. Empowering believers for mission. These are some of the things you have to see. Hallelujah. You have to have the teachers, and as we get into mission work properly or fully in the coming days and coming months and coming years, we understand it and understand why some things will have to go the way some things you have to go.
Hallelujah. But you don't get to a culture and say, stop this.
Amen.
On Sunday, we're going to look at fight. In their world, they fought. They said, was God accommodating genocide? I mean, was God instituting genocide? No. God wasn't. But they have a culture. Amen. Sometimes God does not accommodate it. And a culture even killing themselves. You see my thing, I will just stab you. I will say no. You cannot stab. You cannot stab the person. That doesn't mean it's easy. You know, just removing the person is too hard. How about you remove one? Let that be the same one.
Ah!
God has to accommodate their culture. Hallelujah. But yet, it's telling you in Christ you find the real one.
Amen.
Hope you're following me. So when you look away and see Christ, this is where God wants us to be. Hope you're following me. Yeah. So sometimes you might accommodate something.
So that is why a believer, you're learning God's word, you know, what knowledge does to you.
is not for you to, I discovered this, and but not just to you, it's not for you to begin to condemn. Some people just condemn. Sometimes you have to just be, when you know more, you are calmer more. Amen. Man, I discovered that. I've always heard it, but these days, I guess, I've learned to become more calm. Born. Amen. And Pastor said, it comes with maturity in ministry. Amen. You just learn, you just be calm. People think that on your normal day, they'll say, no! Just be calm. It's maturity. Amen. Just learn to be calm. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 You know what? I'll take you somewhere in a couple of days. Like you do some things. You just have to be calm. Just to learn. Just have to be calm. You don't have to accommodate people. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go ahead. So where were we? So the sacrifice was God accommodating their work. God was not in their work. God was accommodating it. So Moses will now give them sacrifice. Remember, the first time it was, this was for worship. Right? It was for worship. Not for sin. So the type and shadows, Moses was not going to tell them God was going to be the one to. So, God is going to be the one to do the sacrifice. In as much as we saw Abel, we saw who? Noah. Right? Yet in Genesis chapter 20, where John will later read in John 1:29, Abraham and Isaac were going to where? Offer sacrifice. Here was what Abraham told the Genesis 22. This is what Abraham told his servant. Same thing. Genesis 22 quickly. Look at what he said. He was going to offer sacrifice. Look at his. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Verses 5. Abraham said, no, young man, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? Verse 5, and go what? And do what? And worship. Did you see that? And worship, and come again unto you. That means, Abraham knew he was coming back with Isaac. He said, what we're going to do is worship. We are coming back. He knew it was worship. And it was a teaching class. So, first of all, take that in your mind that God was going to test it now. The word test them was to reprove. What is the word for reprove? A word for how you teach. Amen. So, take your mind away that God was testing his faith to see whether he's deceiving him. No. God wouldn't do that to you. Hallelujah. But whatever was it, what he was teaching, Abraham was a pastor, a prophet, and he was teaching his son. So, they went ahead to worship, and he was going to show him how worship would be done. Which worship? Amen. The other people lady. So he went there. And he laid his son. He laid his son. And what happened? When the son asked him, where is the lamb? What did he say? He didn't say, don't worry, you are the lamb. No. He said, where is the lamb? For worship. He said, the Lord God himself will provide the lamb. Isn't that? God will provide. The land. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Not money. God, not job. God will provide the land. So you don't say, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. God might provide. You're going to provide more. God is going to provide more. Jehovah Jireh is not job Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is not who Jireh. It's Jehovah Jireh. So today now what we say, God has provided. Because Jehovah has guided you. Amen? Amen? Not God will. God has provided. Jehovah has guided. Like that. Don't copy it. Amen? Amen. Right? God has provided. So he says, God will provide himself the lamp. Verse 8. Then the Lord provided himself a lamp for a burnt offering. So they went both together. So God provided a lamp. That is where John 1 already spoke. John 1 verse 29. He said, behold the Lamb of God. This lamp that taketh away the sins of the world. Stop them from coming there shortly. Amen. Hold them from coming there shortly. So, listen. So Moses, knowing that it's God that will provide the lamb for his worship. This is that God will provide the lamb for his worship. Moses knew, so he wrote it to them. Amen. The offering will be for worship, but it will be God that will provide the lamb. So every time you read that they offered an offering or they offered a sacrifice, Moses is writing for you to see that it is God that will offer the lamb. It's God that will offer the lamb. See that God is right. It's God that would offer the lamb in his worship. In their world, it's man that will. But no, Moses says, that is not the narrative. It's God that will for his worship. For his worship. Hope you're there. Hallelujah. So write it like that. And it will be the lamb, or it will be the blood of the lamb. It will be the sacrifice of the lamb. It will be the sacrifice of the lamb. God's lamb. And in God's sacrifice, the blood will be taken into the tabernacle. You can see that? Moses is writing redemption. Amen?
Amen.
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 That will be Christ's hermeneutics of scriptures. You can see that first. Moses is saying God is going to provide the lamb. What you would find in Moses and the prophet movie, you will not find him talk about Jesus as in a sentence. But you know what? When you put what he has written and what he has said, you will find the fulfillment in Christ. God will provide himself the lamb. Okay, I'm going to was Moses deliberately writing about Jesus? We're going to answer that shortly. Hallelujah! Hope you're following me. Was he deliberately writing? We're going to answer that as we progress. Amen. But it's something you have to see. Amen. Remember before now, God had told him, I am. I am. That is how I become a man. It's part of the I am. I am that I am. I will redeem my you find it there. For yet, Moses wasn't writing. I don't want to answer that question immediately. Let's just be together. Amen. Amen. We'll get to a point where we'll answer it. Hope you're following me. Amen. But when you see what Moses has written, put together, you'll find it all. This he had all that has written together will conclude on Christ. Hallelujah. So the right for you to see that God will provide himself a lamb, and that lamb, to show that the lamb will be a miracle of the lamb, that the lamb will come back to life, is that the blood will be used to signify life. So the animal that is dead, the lamb that is dead, will come back alive and will be found in the tabernacle. What Moses wrote for them is amen. That is God's miracle. Okay, I follow you. That is God's miracle. And who offered the lamb? God himself. For his worship. Okay, I follow you. For his worship in the tabernacle. Very vital. Very vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So mark this down. Every time you see a physical sacrifice in Moses or instruction to offer sacrifices, is actually God who will offer the sacrifice for his worship. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews now puts it this way. We're getting there shortly, very shortly. Hebrews 10. Are you there? Hebrews 10, if you're there, I'm going to read verses 1 into 4.
It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, they can never, with those sacrifices which were offered year by year continually, make the commerce all thereunto perfect. You see that? For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Look at what he's saying. So Moses would not give them a yearly that they will have the, though they have the normal atonement, but they will have one that is done every year. Moses will say the one for every year will point to once for all time. This is that will point to once for all time. So it says, so Moses writes that for you to see, it will be the one for all time sacrifice. And praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
So go ahead, verses 4. He said, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Whereunto he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice. I mean, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering that would not. That is, I did not ask it. That's what he says. I would not, but a body that hath prepared for me. In burnt offering and in sacrifice for sin, thou hast no pleasure. You see that? Amen. 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 Look at it. It says, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the books it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice an offering, and burnt offering, and offering for sin, thou would not, neither have pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Is that? So he said, this is the writer of Hebrews saying, God wasn't involved. That is to say, God didn't institute it. What happened to you? But rather, Moses gave it to them to point to his message. Amen. Moses was the first to call God the Lamb. Moses was the first. So he said, God instituted it. Rather, Moses is using it to point to his teaching. What are you following me? Where is he reading from? He's reading from Psalm 40. David, a prophet just like Moses, writing for Moses, look at what he says. Psalm 40. Hope you are with me here. Psalm 40, verse 6. Is it? I'll start from verse 5. It says, Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and the thoughts which are towards us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. My ear hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Did you see that? Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, my law is within my heart. Hallelujah. I say, I have preached righteousness. And I'm telling you, this is the effect of the sacrifice. I push righteousness in good conclusion. We're going to look at all that as we progress next week. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So God had no pleasure, God didn't institute it. But Moses borrowed their culture to point to God's fasting rejection. Hope you're following me. So when today you now go back and you're now offering, and say, I want to know, you are missing it. You are talking to the shadows. Hope you're following me. Not the real. The same way too. When it comes to tithing, tithing was a culture in their world. Was a culture in their world. So the same way to Moses will borrow a culture they had in their world. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to move straight. I believe I've laid most of the foundation down very well now. Because of timing last week, we have done most of this. So I use more to talk about it all. But it's better put in right perspective from scriptures. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. There's no rush to anywhere. We are yet together. Even if I teach this for the rest of the year, which I will not do. Amen. Amen. So Genesis, let's see that. Chapter 17. Okay.
Sorry. Okay, Genesis, sorry. Genesis 14. Are you there?
Okay. Yeah, this is verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham. This is Abraham and Melchizedek. What people are calling Melchizedek is someone said is false Jesus. That's nonsense. Okay, look at this. In verses 19, and blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thy enemy into thy hands, and he gave him tithe of all. Do this last? He gave him tithe of all. First of all, in verse 17, verse 18, calls him the King of Salem. The King of Salem brought forth bread and wine. He called him the King of Salem. Is that? The King of Salem. So Melchizedek is the king. Tithe was a culture in their world used for honoring a king or anyone who is royal. Look, in a near Eastern culture. Like I told us last week, I said that was some days before teaching on Thursday, and I was somewhere and somebody just brought up tithing. Funny enough, the fellow brought up tithing was an atheist. I guess I didn't say this to us last week, he was an atheist. And he was just hammering on it. And I was wow that a Christian who was there couldn't even answer the atheist question. And what he just said is, when you enter trouble, then you will know that you need God. You have not answered, you have not done any justice to him. Amen. Because the guy is flooring you. Remember, the guy is flooring you. Very well, flooring him. And I said, at first I was quiet. I said, no, you're wrong. And then first of all, tithing was in their culture. The guy was, are you trying to tell me that was your culture? I said, yes, that was in your culture. You didn't read that too? When the Christian guy was like, what are you saying? He didn't expect me. He expected me to just come and say, if you don't tithe, you will be tithed. Amen? Don't tithe, no. You shouldn't use cliches. Hallelujah. I said, it was in their culture. And quickly, he went online. I said, it was actually in the office setting. And he went online on Google. I said, you can check it. Amen. So you can check it. So what is their culture? I said, oh, you don't even know their culture. Their culture is Near Eastern culture. Can I read that? Amen. And you can look at some books. I said, yeah, it was their culture. So just their culture. So the number one, that automatically exonerated Moses. Because that's very simple. Number two of the fact that, okay, we're not going to deal with that now. But it was in their culture. So now, Moses now wrote it was their culture used to honor royalty and kings. So it was not just practice only in Israel. No, it was a culture in their world. In fact, Abraham was not even Israelite when he offered tithe to Melchizedek. Sister, what do you mean Abraham wasn't Israelite? Abraham wasn't Israelite. But Abraham wasn't even a Jew. Abraham was a Gentile that gave birth to a Jew. Please, don't go and argue this outside. They will chop off your head. Amen. But that can be very offensive, but that is the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that what I tend to say? Gentile give birth to Jew, yes. Amen. Good to go. So, that is their culture, and it was for kids. Now, number two is, in their culture, you don't give, listen, someone said
the reason why they were not, and I need to say this, because that can be very funny. Never was citing in their culture or in the days of Moses. We're going to see all this next week. Neither did it involve money. It never was used with money. You can leave that. You can leave that. You can leave that. We're almost running it. Hallelujah. Amen. But money was never involved. When I say no, now in their world they don't have money. Because now that there is no, there's no money, it is not true. They have money. God has got the evolution of money. They have money. So stop saying nonsense. They were causing their culture. And was not, doesn't involve money. Really. Amen. It was not money. It was actually used for the king. And Moses now said, who are they giving their tithe to? Who will receive the tithe? The Levite. Because the Levite here, priest. Moses was writing a speak according to priest. Levite were priest. Oh, what we are following? Levite were priest. Did I call them royalty now? Yes. They were not supposed to work. We are following you. They are supposed to, you are used to specify where in God's work. Hope you are following me. You are supposed to bring to them. Not just that. So when I talk about Malachi, I laugh. Malachi is very simple to me. Say that there will be meat here in my house. And when I use the word meat in my house, and that is what we are going to see, is the fact that it means there will be no lack. That was what he was writing. Amen. We are following. Yeah, there will be no lack. So when God now says you have robbed me, you are not talking about carry gun and rob God. What are you saying? Amen. You have to read it in your word. Glory to God. When there is lack in the gathering of believers, you've not done well as a believer. And you have surplus. That is you are robbing God because there's lack in the church. We're going to look at all that as we do this. So what is down the window of heaven? We're going to see all that as we speak. Amen. Remember, this city is not tight. But we're going to pilot from there. Hallelujah. Not tight. I'm not teaching tight. When I have time to teach you guys tight, I'll teach you tight. But we'll just have to see it. Amen. Together. So that it was a culture in their world. And it was used to, just like Sabbath, just like sacrifice was pointing to something. You must not stick to you must not stick to the illustration, you must stick to what was used to point to. That's what you're supposed to stick to. But to now say, there's no tithing, there's no, this is that, you don't carry both the baby and the bad person and still do it. I don't do that. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Amen. So what was it pointing to? What is the bigger picture? What's the bigger event? And that is what we see. Hallelujah. Amen. We learned something? Let's go and thank the Lord.